50 years is ample time to change a world and its people almost beyond recognition. Global government, transhumanism, the interfaith agenda. This is Forcing Change Radio, brought to you by Worldview Weekends, worldviewradio.com. And now here's your host, Carl Tykrib.
Social change, whether gradual or revolutionary, is inevitable and brings with it new patterns of social interaction. The place of education in this process is both complex and critical. Those words come from the book Social Change in Education in Canada, and the authors are right. As society changes, whether it is a gradual change or whether it happens through the paradigm of a revolution, education is key to shaping and shifting the worldview to accept those changes, to propel those changes, to move them along, to create a new world. This week, I spent some time going through the Communist Manifesto. I have read it in the past, but as I was doing some research for a different project, what struck me is the work of Marx and Engels and how they viewed education as being an essential part of the change, the transformation into a communist world. How education needed to be wrestled away from the hands and the authority of parents and wrestled away from families and tradition, and education needed to become a tool for social transformation. Indeed, education had to become social. Well, the left understands the role of education and has understood it very well. Generation after generation, decade after decade, we have seen progressive left intrusion into education. And the progressive left has played a monumental role in developing educational standards, curriculum, and in the teaching methods and instructions that have taken place, oh golly, for the last 100 plus years already. Well, this broadcast of Forcing Change wants to take a look again a little bit down the road of how education is used as a tool for global transformation. Last week, broadcast 14, I talked about the very first international event I attended, the Global Citizenship 2000 Youth Congress, which took place in Vancouver, British Columbia. I talked a little bit about some of the players that were involved, Robert Mueller, and the role of creating a world core curriculum and having that world core curriculum accepted in our Canadian education system. Now, at that point in time, Robert Mueller had already developed the core curriculum, and it was more of a philosophy of education rather than lessons or instruction, but a philosophy of how to do curriculum. And so that event in 1997 was about how do we integrate that philosophy into the Canadian education school system. And for me, it was a real eye-opener because I'd never been to an event like that before. I had never been to a truly internationalist event. And for me, it was an education all on its own. Well, education is very important. As Christians, we understand this. Even the goal of forcing change is built around the idea of educating. Forcing change is hoping to educate you to better understand the world that is changing around us, to better understand the challenges, and then to be able to respond to those with truth, to be able to respond to those changes in a way that is beneficial for you as an individual, but also for your family, for your church, and for your community. So education is, at least for forcing change, a really integral part of why we do what we do. For the conservative Christian, for the biblical Christian, education is recognized biblically as well. I'm reminded of the words of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and how God views education and its role within shaping children so that they are ingrained in His truth generation after generation. This is what Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and on says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Now here, ladies and gentlemen, is where things become very applicable. You shall teach them diligently to your children. and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. See here how important education is in God's eyes. Education is so vital because this is how the message of who God is transferred from generation to generation. And the role that we as parents play in doing this is vital. It can't be overstated. Well, I would like to talk a little bit about what happened in the Vancouver event so that you have a better grasp of just the direction that we went. Because you'll realize that the worldview that was being presented is very different than the biblical worldview. It's a worldview that looks to change the ideas of traditional church, traditional doctrines, the biblical worldview, and to change it to accept a new pagan paradigm. With that in mind, I want to pick up where we left off last week, and that is a review of Volume 1, Issue 3 of Forcing Change, because that's the issue that details what transpired at the Global Citizenship 2000 Youth Congress, my observations and some of the comments that arose from that event. And this is where we left off. Because I came as an independent observer, Dr. Schwartz placed me, and Dr. Schwartz was one of the organizers, she placed me with the Simon Fraser University student teachers. And the Millennium Project, because every school that was there was committing to a Millennium Project, the Millennium Project that Simon Fraser committed to was implementing the World Core curriculum and its philosophies within the public education system. These were student teachers. And so they were going to be walking away from this event with this goal of integrating the World Core curriculum into their own teaching standards and into their own teaching philosophies. Some of the student teachers admitted that this wasn't learning in the traditional sense, but rather this was about values and behavior modification. It was education for creating environmental activists, a position viewed as a positive educational step. One Simon Fraser University student teacher proclaimed, "With us being here, they are planting a seed in us." Another student teacher explained that Mueller's World Core curriculum is what we're trying to get to. Now, a very interesting dialogue between two student teachers showed how subversive this thinking is. One of the team members asked, "How do we deal with parental pessimism?" In other words, how are we going to deal with those parents who are opposed to what we're trying to implement? And it was explained to us that if a child's values could be altered, eventually parental persuasion could be shifted towards accepting this. The basic idea of the student teachers was to push for compulsory World Core curriculum education, with the focus being on sustaining the creative energy of what we were doing at the Global Citizenship Congress. As one of the team leaders from the Simon Fraser University teachers commented, quote, "Make it a virus, no inoculation, infect everyone." The Congress ended on Saturday evening with a grand festival of lights. And if you recall from last week, I briefly touched a little bit of the fact that there's cultural aspects of many of these events. And this was no different. There was cultural aspects of this event, too. We opened up with a parade and we also closed with cultural activities. The Congress ended on Saturday evening with a grand festival of lights. Students were given flashlights and led at the appropriate time into the darkened library concourse to a rousing marching tune. Berghofer explained that this was symbolic because light is the primary energy of the universe. He went on, "We are dedicating ourselves to act, to use the energy of our historic 1,000 days to further our cooperation and visioneering work." Now remember, this was 1,000 days before the year 2000. And at that point in time, the year 2000 was considered still to be a real mile marker to changing the world towards global governance, and it would be the birth of a new era. In thanking Robert Mueller and the behind-the-scenes organizer, Dr. Schwartz presented solid marble spirit birds as gifts, and each spirit bird was carved out of a single slab of the finest marble in the world, from the same marble quarry that Michelangelo got for his stone to make David. This is something we were all told. And we were told that the birds represented the freedom to act and serve as partners of light, partners of celebration. And before midnight, the beginning of the 1,000th day, a drama was presented in which the elephant-headed, six-armed Hindu deity Ganesha made an appearance. The Cultural Metaphors Theater Workshop professionally dressed up a young woman in a Ganesha costume and explained to the children the powers of Ganesha. Quote, "I have been around for thousands and thousands of years, and you can call on me any time to remove your thoughts of any obstacles. If you should ever worry or anguish, or if life gets you down, whisper an Om. Call on loving Ganesha, who always is there, for Ganesha is none other than you." Now remember the audience. The audience here are public educators, they're school teachers, they are educational directors, they are school children. We had an awful lot of school children present, especially younger age groups. So all of this was a very powerful appeal to them. The Global Citizenship Youth Congress was a publicly supported initiative, primarily through tax dollars. Funding support for the event came through the Canadian federal government via the Minister of Environment, and for any team wishing to receive capital for their Millennium Projects, because every school was supposed to present a Millennium Project for those schools participating in this event, Environment Canada had set up a booth with federal application forms so that those schools could help begin the process of funding the various Millennium Projects. Although the Youth Congress was chiefly aimed at changing Canada's educational focus, the result of the event here was to have a much broader impact. On Saturday afternoon, Mueller proposed that copies of the work that we were doing would go further abroad. He said this, that this work would go, quote, to the mayor of your city, to the Minister of Environment in Canada, to the World Environment Program in Nairobi, to your parliamentarians who represent you in parliament, so that they will get an example of what young people are thinking and what they are ready to do. I have a whole list which I will give to Desmond. Desmond, of course, was one of the organizers. For example, yes, I have UNICEF, the Secretary General of the United Nations, the UN Earth Council in Costa Rica, so that in order to create a movement that other schools will do what you have begun to do here. Very practical proposals. Communicate them to other authorities, to other schools, to UNESCO. A world program of asking other schools around to do this thinking. What do you propose to save the environment of this world? And you will be the first example given by UNESCO of how to do it. So this is very, very important what you have done here today. Serving as a UNESCO model for proper global citizenship, the Vancouver Congress I participated in opened the doors for other similar-minded events to take place. It added to the weight of global citizenship education as dreamed up by world change visionaries. This was a very practical outpouring of this idea of a world core philosophy, changing our educational system to accept global citizenship, to accept the values and the paradigm change that would be necessary to formulate a new world. Now, I'm going to give you some of the other quotes that came out of this event from Dr. Robert Mueller as he explained the direction of where he would like to see us go with the Global Citizenship Youth Congress. So here's just a few things I've excerpted from the audio tapes of this event. And yes, I tape the whole thing. That's often how I go about trying to gather information when I attend international events. Consider these words. You must remember the Earth. I would even say that the word global education and the word global citizenship, I'm almost tempted to change the words and to replace them by Earth education and by Earth citizenship. We are children of the sun and we are children of the earth. Then he went on. You can be the caretakers and the saviors of the world. Every day, remember your Mother Earth. Do not forget it, that from now on, you have to be Earth citizens. You have to be the children of Mother Earth. Again, remember, keep in mind who the audience is. School children, educators, teachers. And this is also what he explained to us, knowing that he's an elderly man, what would happen at the end of his life. I have requested that when I die, I do not want to be burned. I do not want to be put in a casket. I want to be put straight into the earth so that the earth can reabsorb me, and then I can live again as the form of a tree or in the form of insects or worms. This will be my contribution when I'm dead. It is my fundamental right to live again in another form. Then, in order to inspire the children, Dr. Mueller gave us some examples from his own life. Remember, this was to inspire us, to move us towards action, what we could do possibly to become good global citizens. Obviously, we wouldn't be able to involve ourselves quite the way he did, but the idea of what he said here was to move us towards action. Action to change the world. Action to change our planet towards a unified, united whole. And so he brought together some of the elements of religion, and he also brought together some of the political activities and the aspirations that he had been working towards. And one of them was the idea that religions should work together, and that these religions should work together, and in doing so, it would eventually help to create and ferment a political desire for us to have a united global society. So this is what he told us, and what he told the children. Let me tell you that when you have an idea which you consider fundamental and good for humanity, sooner or later you can implement it. So I was invited to the World Parliament of Religions, and I made a speech there, which was so well received by all the participants, that the idea of creating a United Religions like the United Nations was promoted during the World Parliament of Religions. And then, during the 50th anniversary of the United Nations in San Francisco, we launched again the idea of a United Religions. And at the end of June, there would be a meeting of 200 people from various religions in San Francisco to draft and to give birth in San Francisco to United Religions. I almost cannot believe it that they listened to me. I will be the father of the United Religions. But I never gave up. And then Robert Mueller went on to talk about the creation of political ideas around a united world concept. Quote, to create a united Europe took 46 years. To get the United States together took 10 years. And to get the world together and abolish the passports might take also 10 or 20 years. In these ideas, I have 6 fundamental ways of getting to a united world. I'm going to work with each of them. I'm asking now that either the United Nations would be tremendously strengthened, or create a United States of a united world. Or, let us take all the world federalists together to create a world federation. Or, let us create regional continental units. The European Union, an American Union, which I've been pushing too. And this is how you got the trade agreement between the U.S. and Canada. And here what he's talking about, of course, is NAFTA. And then we'll take the 5 continents, and the 5 continents, if they're united, will create a world union. That's another one. The latest and most important one is that we should organize the planet according to biology. All the bacteria, all the cells in your body, they are interconnected. This is a completely new concept of how the planet should be organized. We should do it by regions instead of cutting things across. I would like to have a Pacific community, an Atlantic community. The military are doing it. Why don't we do it as a peacemaker? I would like to have a Pacific community with all the countries around the Pacific, an Atlantic community around the Atlantic. I would like to have an Arctic community, an Antarctic community, and desert countries. The great rivers of Amazon, rivers of Amazon should be practically one region where the people should be with nature. So you have to work on all of this. You have a fantastic future. Just come up with an idea. Now, the point of Mueller telling us all of this was to inspire each of the participating schools to pursue Millennium Project goals, because every one of the schools that was there participating had all committed themselves to form some type of an action committee or club or project that would reflect the ideas of a world core curriculum and global citizenship. I'm going to share with you some of the school projects and the ideas that came from different classes. And I'm going to end up rustling some papers here, as I have an old report that I did on this topic. It's not part of the Forcing Change issue that dealt on this on this event, but this is a part of just a whole series of small reports and papers that I pulled together as I fleshed out what had transpired and what I had witnessed back in early April of 1997. So here are some of the ideas that came from the different participating schools. Keep in mind that these are ideas are just that. They're ideas. But it reflects what these children were thinking after they had listened to the aspirations and the encouragement of Dr. Robert Mueller and all the different things he had done. Now, what could these children do? How could they participate in building a better world? So the Vancouver Learning Center, what they suggested was to create an independent Kids United Nations. And this would be a United Nations, a children's UN body that would have offices worldwide. And the goal would be to help teach others how to be good global citizens. Another idea that the Vancouver Learning Center was to create a global citizenship theme park, and that this theme park would have exhibitions that would spur on the imaginations towards environmental stewardship and world citizenship. And one of the park rides would be a ride where people could discover what it would be like to be a tree and then to be cut down, and what each stage of cutting down a tree would be like. Another one of the groups that came from the Vancouver Learning Center, because that school was large enough that they broke it up into two different groups. Group two suggested, let's develop a Ministry of Water for worldwide water management. Another one was to develop a course. We need to develop a worldwide course where schools would teach planetary preservation, just like you would teach math or English. Now, we're coming up quickly to a break, and on the other side of the break, I'll give you a few other examples from these different schools that participated in the Global Citizenship 2000 Youth Congress.
Hello, I'm Brandon House of worldviewradio.com. Worldviewradio.com is the world's premier biblical worldview online radio network. And now you can take it with you on the go with our free app that you can download free of charge at worldviewweekend.com/app. That's worldviewweekend.com/app. And you'll hear the daily and weekly radio programs by people like T.A. McMahon of The Brian Call, Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith, Usama Dakdok and The Truth About Islam, Noise of Thunder with Chris Pinto, Justin Peters and the Justin Peters Program, Crosstalk, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Prophecy Today, Jesse Johnson with the Bible Teaching Program of Emmanuel, Dr. John Whitcomb and Mike Gendron of Proclaiming the Gospel Radio, as well as Carl Tykrib with Forcing Change Radio. All of these biblically based radio programs are available free of charge at worldviewradio.com and through our free app at worldviewweekend.com/app. Biblical Worldview Radio that you can take with you on the go.
World government, transhumanism, global currencies, social and religious change.
These important topics and more are explored in depth in the Forcing Change Journal, a monthly Christian-based research publication dedicated to understanding our shifting global order. Utilized by talk show hosts and numerous Christian authors, Forcing Change is a trusted source helping you connect the dots between politics and religion and the worldview tsunami that's reinventing our culture, community, and country. Go to ForcingChange.org and sign up today. ForcingChange.org. Going above and beyond the age of information.
Welcome back to Forcing Change. We've been talking about the Global Citizenship 2000 Youth Congress and some of the school project ideas that came out of that international event to formulate global citizenship. One of the schools, the Vancouver Learning Center, suggested that how some of their ideas could be paid for would be through a type of an air miles system. Instead of individuals receiving air miles, funds then could be channeled directly into worldwide courses for global citizenship. And that a global financial system could take place built around that idea of air miles. Another idea that came from the school was to create a world leader accountability program where world leaders would have their standards and their performances reviewed on a regular basis to make sure that they were doing the right things for the planet. Another school that participated was Burnaby North Secondary School. And Burnaby North explained that they were already engaged in a lot of school activities that was meant to help formulate a global citizenship mindset. They told us that they had a club that they had developed called Scream, the Scream Club, S-C-R-E-A-M, yes, Scream, and that this was an acronym for Students Concerned Regarding Environment and Mother Nature, and that this club was one of many projects that they were already engaged with. They also noted that that the school had some contact with UNICEF and was working to promote children within the school for projects that would help them engage with a larger community as they were enacting what it would be like to be a good world citizen. Another idea that came out of this group was that the school would need to develop an interfaith council, and that this interfaith council would help to build bridges between religions, and that they would bring together representatives from all the different faiths into their school, and they would come together to promote peace and to get rid of tensions. These were some of the ideas. Now again, keep in mind that many of these ideas that were presented seemed quite grand. But remember the context, too. They had just been hearing from Dr. Mueller about all the important work that he was doing. And so these school children, too, had to show that they could participate at this level. Here we are. John Oliver Secondary School. They suggested the creating of a global citizenship club that could directly influence the parents. And that was the idea behind their club. Mount Douglas Senior Secondary School suggested that what they had to do was lobby seriously for a car-free downtown, and that this lobbying would take place at levels right across the entire region as they would promote the eradication of cars and the usage of cars in urban areas. The idea here being, of course, to conserve energy and save the earth. As one student said, "We believe that cars should not, do not belong downtown. Bicycles and people should belong downtown. If we, everyone, believes in just this little idea of banning all cars from downtown and promoting bicycles and human interaction, if we can do this, then surely we can be global citizens." Another school, the participants from Richmond High, discussed creating a global citizenry charter of rights. And obviously with rights comes demands. And that came through loud and clear all the way through the course of this event as people demanded, as children demanded, that we change our values to reflect global citizenship. Now, this charter of rights, in their words, would basically give the kids some morals to live by. And that as children would become aware of this, they would, quote, take it into their hearts and into their minds. Simon Fraser University, the student teachers that participated, also reflected on the idea of bringing this into hearts and minds. And they said that the idea of a world core system, world core education, needed to be compulsory, and that every school subject should integrate world core ideas into all aspects and all areas of curriculum. Now this, ladies and gentlemen, is where the rubber meets the road. This is education for social change. This is education to change the world one student at a time. Well, thank you for listening to Forcing Change Radio. If you found this information to be of value, please consider taking out a subscription to Forcing Change Magazine and partner with us. You can also find us on Facebook and sign up to follow us through Twitter.
You've been listening to Forcing Change Radio with Carl Tykrib. Carl's website is forcingchange.org. That's forcingchange.org. This has been a production of Forcing Change Radio and Worldview Weekends, worldviewradio.com.